is really going on in this war? What was the devil trying to do in heaven in this controversy against God? Because I notice a pattern in almost all of these Hollywood movies. I could stand up here for hours and make you sick of these movies. It's the same story over and over and over again. You know, the question came up earlier today, are you going to show movie clips in your presentation on the Sabbath? And I sat and I thought about that for a second. And I said, why? Does it make you feel uncomfortable? Yes, it does make me feel uncomfortable. You should feel uncomfortable if I show you a movie clip in this house of God. It should make you feel uncomfortable, just like it should make you feel uncomfortable at your home. We have a problem if you can go home and watch this, but you would not do it in church. There's a reason why God asked man to take a lamb. You ever held a lamb? Have you ever held a lamb? It is a beautiful little animal. Could you put a knife to that lamb's throat and feel it bleed out? What would that do to your sin problem if every time you sinned, you had to offer a lamb? What would that do to you? You know, it's a disgusting thing to murder an animal in your hands and you feel its life bleed out of it. That's a disgusting thing. Why did God ask man to do that? To show them how disgusting sin is. I have prayed long and hard to God. Trust me, you have to consider some of the work that I am doing. Never has a movie like Fight Club ever been playing inside of a sanctuary. Ever. There is straight satanic things that I have shown inside of a sanctuary. And you better bet I've prayed long and hard to God. God, am I damaging your church? And time again, God says, show my people, show my people, show my people. Brothers and sisters, this makes me feel uncomfortable to show some of these things. But when are we going to get to the place as a people that we stop paying attention to this evil in the world? That's the background of what I'm trying to do and trying to relate to you. I hope that as you feel uncomfortable, it makes you think twice about the entertainment that you allow into your mind. This is titled The Great Controversy in Hollywood Movies. We've noticed around the world all of these acts of disasters that are happening. You know, there was some pretty crazy earthquakes that just happened in Hawaii. And there is some natural disasters going on all over the world, to the fact that it happens so frequently, we kind of don't even, we're getting numb to it. And some of these things are terrible. But you know what the one thing that you hear time and time again? That was an act of what? Is it God's fault? Why does the world always take something terrible and nasty and say, that was God's problem? Do you know when you Google, the most Googled question that a non-Christian believing person Googles about God, what do you think it is? Here's the number one question. If God is so loving, why does he allow evil? As if it's God's fault that evil even exists. The number one thing that a non-Christian does not understand about the loving God that we have is, if he has the power to stop it, why doesn't he? What's his problem? I don't want to serve a God like that. Here's what the devil is doing. Ezekiel 28 is where we get an understanding of Lucifer's job in heaven, right? By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mount of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub. Question, what is a covering cherub? It's the angel, right? In the Ark of the Ark of the Covenant, it's the angel that is overhanging over the Ark. What's in the Ark? Okay, so let me give you a little background on what a covering cherub is. A covering cherub is a protector of the law of God. Lucifer's job in heaven was to protect the law of God. It was his job to go around in the universe and to share what God is really like. So what happens when Lucifer goes to everybody and goes, you know what? God's not really loving. Oh, really? Well, it's your job to tell me what God's like, so you must know something, right? How he was able to pull one-third of the angels away was because of his position in heaven and what he did. Listen to what Desire of Ages says about this. It was the being of a wonderful power and glory that had set himself against God. Of Lucifer, the Lord says, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty, like Ezekiel 28. Lucifer had been the covering cherub. He stood in the light of God's presence, and he had been the highest of all created beings. He had been the foremost in revealing God's purposes to the universe. After he had sinned, the power to deceive was the more deceptive, and unveiling of his character was more difficult because of the exalted position he had with the Father. It would be like this. If the Vice President of the United States of America came in here today and said, let me tell you something about our president. He's actually a really evil guy. This is probably a terrible example. But you get what I'm getting at. You would probably believe the Vice President because he's next to the president. You're not. You're not in the White House. You have no idea what he's really like. You only know what they show you in the news, right? But if the person next to him came to you and told you that, you would believe him. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in my heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. I will ascend into the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Question, what's the Most High like? God is, oh, now this is interesting. Because what is Lucifer actually saying? He's not saying, I'm going to hate on you, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to murder you. He's saying, I can be loving like God without following his rules. Brothers and sisters, here is the basis of the great controversy between Christ and Satan. Satan is claiming he can be like God without following how God's government is set up. So what does Satan do? He runs around and he tells everybody a false description of God. In Greek, the devil just means to accuse and bring charges with hostile intent. That's what diablos means. In Greek, Satan means adversary or slanderer. And the widespread trade of Ezekiel 28:16, the Hebrew word in the context, just means slanderer. So what the devil means, we know this from Revelation 12:10, says, and I heard it with a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come thy salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them our God day and night. All the devil is doing is accusing God and misrepresenting his character. You see, the devil only has one trick. One trick. That's it. Everything is comprised underneath that one trick to confuse you about the character of God. Listen to this. Satan saw, this comes from Desire of Ages, that his disguise was torn away at the cross. His administration was laid open before the unfallen angels and before the heavenly universe. He had revealed himself as a murderer. The universe saw, if Satan can do that to Jesus, he can do it to me. And the rest of the universe turned their back on Satan at that moment. By the shedding of the blood, the Son of God had uprooted himself from the sympathies of... The Son of God had uprooted from him the sympathies of the heavenly beings. Henceforth, his work was restricted. Whatever attitude he might assume, he could no longer await the angels and they could that would come into the heavenly courts and before them accuse Christ's brethren of being clothed with the garments of blackness and the defilement of sin. The last link of sympathy between Satan and his heavenly world was broken, yet Satan was not then destroyed. The angels did not fully understand all that was involved in the great controversy. The principles at stake were to be more fully revealed, and for this sake, Satan's existence must continue. Man, as well as the angels, must see a contrast between the Prince of Light and the Prince of Darkness, whom he must choose who he will serve. You see, even at the cross, even at that pinnacle point, where the universe saw Satan's true colors, they still didn't fully understand what was going on. There was still something that had to be shown to the universe about the character of God. That is the great controversy that is playing out before us. So this one trick that the devil has is simply to misrepresent the character of God. The less we understand the character of God, the more we will be lost. It was Jesus's purpose to come down to humanity to show the character of God to us. It's a simple trick that the devil does over and over and over again. And so when you look at a movie or a film or a cartoon, I'm going to show you how they take the character of God and time and time and time again, they show you that he is evil and the devil is good. And it's simple things that don't seem to be too much of a problem. Have you ever heard of a movie called Wreck-It Ralph? Anyone? Right? Any of you that saw Wreck-It Ralph, did you notice anything spiritual about it? Maybe? Not really? You see, they're able to show you the great controversy in front of you, and the way that it plays out, you're not thinking through the lens of the great controversy. So they can show you these characters, but yet you don't make these comparisons. So I'm going to play a little clip for you. Wreck-It Ralph is a little animation that they made about a video game. And in the video game, this lead character that's here, his job is to wreck everything that he sees, okay? So this guy right here. There is another person that's supposed to come along and build up everything after he wrecks it. I'll play a little clip for you and see if you can notice it.
My name's Wreck-It Ralph.
I'm gonna wreck it!
30 years I've been doing this.
I can fix it!
It's hard to love your job when no one else seems to like you for doing it.
You're just the bad guy who wrecks the building.
I'm okay.
So, there's a lot of information that was just shown to you. There is a character that wrecks every single building. Then there is a carpenter that fixes every single thing, to the point where he kills him and he's resurrected back to life in front of your eyes. Brothers and sisters, these things are in front of your face, yet for the most people, they don't see it. I'll play a little further. When the characters get to the end of the game, they're in the clouds where the little carpenter gives them all pie and feeds them a feast. Let me know when your spiritual alarm bells are running off.
Really honest with myself. Sure must be nice being the good guy.
Ralph, you are a bad guy. But this does not mean you're a bad guy.
I don't want to be the bad guy anymore.
So here's what's going on. He's in a support group with all of the bad people, and he all of a sudden says, you know what, I don't want to be the bad guy anymore. And everyone in the support group says, wait a minute, the program made you the bad guy. You need to be the bad guy. We need a bad guy. And they're trying to encourage him to stay being the bad guy. And so the entire film is about him trying to go and find himself as the bad guy. And listen to this. They're in a support group. I want you to notice the person that's sitting right next to him. By the way, this is Satan.
You can't change who we are.
You can't mess with the program, Ralph.
Everyone here says I'm just a mistake.
You ready for this? What do
I stand for? So here's the message that's told to you. You can't change who you are, so guess what you need to do? You need to celebrate the mistake that you make. And be the bad guy, and it's okay. And in the very end, in this little support group, they even tell you what their whole message is all about.
Let's close out with the bad guy affirmation.
I am bad.
Ah! And that's good.
I will never be good.
No. And that's not bad.
Hold that thought.
There's no one I'd rather be.
I'm the bad guy, and that's not bad. I will never be good. And that's okay. And so the thing plays out. Even to the point in the movie where he sits down, sitting right next to Satan himself.
Thanks, Satan.
It's Satine, actually.
Got it.
Thank you, Satan, for clarifying this. And he notice the little subtle psychological thing that he says here. It's actually Satan, right? As if we've gotten the word Satan wrong the whole time and we've misunderstood who Satan really is. Brothers and sisters, there is so many of these types of things in movies, but it goes right over the tops of people's heads. The reason I bring that up, I'm going to skip over this, because I want to get to the core of where they're going with a lot of these types of movies. The superhero genre is a very interesting genre to begin with, because how many people have ever seen a superhero movie? Anybody? Maybe Superman, Batman, any of those? I would say probably 90% of our church has seen one or two or three of these films. I've seen a few of them in my past. If you understand where superheroes come from, just simply understand where they come from. That's enough to not watch them. That's it. And so here is a little clip that I'll play for you from some of the writers and directors of some of the superhero movies, and they tell you where they come from.
The ancient gods of Greece and Rome and Egypt still exist, only today they wear spandex and capes.
Superman is Zeus, Batman is Hades, Aquaman is Neptune, and they kind of fit into the pantheon of gods of a lot of different cultures.
Superman is as much of a Moses figure as he is a Christ figure. You know, it's coming from another world, you know, having all this power and really saving lives.
Our redemption is not going to come from here, goes the myth. Instead, we will be saved from the outside.
Batman, the Dark Knight detective, Gotham's greatest protector. His parents killed before him at an early age. He is the world's greatest detective. He's the world's greatest escape artist. And he's arguably the world's greatest hand-to-hand combatant. He also has a bazillion dollars. And that's not somebody you want to go up against.
One of the reasons that Batman has been so popular for so long is his iconography is that of a demon. I mean, look at the paintings of medieval paintings of devils in museums, the bat wings, the horns. He looks like something that's dark and evil, and his origins are in an act of murder, and yet he's on your side.
Wonder Woman is a perfect transition from the ancient myths. There are echoes of the Amazons in Homer's writing that refers to a tribe of women that lived without men, that were terrifyingly efficient soldier warriors.
Flash, the fastest man alive, can move at speeds near the speed of light, can outrace a bullet to its target, can run up the side of a building, can actually cross the ocean before he has time to sink.
There's the old Flash, and then there's the new Flash. The old Flash is a perfect counterpart for Hermes or Mercury in the old myths. You know it immediately when you see the helmet with the wings on it. It refers to the god of the messengers. In a fascinating way, the artists who are creating today's comics are doing heroic work by taking the timeless tales that began in the world of myth and bringing them into the future.
Are you with me?
So where do they come from? Greek and Roman mythology, right? All they said, these are the writers, all they said was we took the Greek and Roman gods and we just put spandex on them and gave them to you. Now, why is it important to know your Bible? Because what does it say in Exodus 20, verse 2 and 3? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So here we have a situation where in our world, this is the stories of other gods. You know, we're still following after other gods. You look at the Bible, read the stories of ancient Israel. In my Bible, it has literally the little description of each one of the chapters, right? You read through the Old Testament, Israel falls prey to idolatry. Israel falls after other gods. Israel follows after other gods. Israel falls after other gods. Brothers and sisters, this is not anything new. We are still following after other gods. We just do it in this form. If you notice, they do something very interesting in Superman. They equate him to Jesus. They've been doing this ever since the beginning. If Superman is like Jesus, what would his mother's name have to be? Mary, right? So in the comic book, his mother's name is Mary. If his mother's name is Mary, what would his father's name have to be? His father's name is Jonathan Joseph Kent. This is Superman's father. And in the 1978 Superman, he's talking about the story being written just like the story of Jesus.
On Krypton, I was intending it to be almost semi-biblical, and people spoke in very stilted, elegant English. The metaphor was clearly there when Jor-El sends Superman to Earth, of God sending Christ to save humanity.
You will travel far, my little Kal-El.
So even the directors in 1978 recognized that he was like Jesus. And in the movie in 1978, Superman goes into the wilderness right before he becomes Superman. He goes into the Siberian wilderness, right? How old is he when he goes into the Siberian wilderness?
Age?
30.
So he's 30 years old before he becomes Superman. 30 years old before Jesus goes into the wilderness, they're paralleling what's happening with Jesus. So what's wrong with a story that's just like Jesus? What could be wrong with that? I'll continue. The new Superman that came out in the early 2000s here, Bryan Singer said this about it. This was a story about Christ. It's all about sacrifice. He hears a cry. So what happens? He gets a knife and he falls to earth in the shape of a crucifix. He says, it was kind of nailing you on the head, and I enjoyed that because I found that the myth of Christ was compelling and moving. The comic books even portray him as a Christ. The TV shows portray him as Christ. Here he is in the Smallville series. In the very first episode, he's up on a cross, and that's Lex Luthor pulling him up, and guess what? He gets down off of the cross. Did Jesus get off the cross? See, they're letting you into a little small window. What do we call that when something looks like Christ, walks like Christ, sort of talks like Christ, but has nothing to do with the mission of Christ? What do we call that? You wonder, when people come in and they say, no, I can watch this movie because I can take my ideas of what Jesus is and I can apply them to that movie. And there we go, it's okay to watch that, right? You see, here it is in Smallville, he gets a knife in his side. All throughout all of Superman's content, Here's the New York Times saying Superman has come to save mankind from its sins. How many of you remember that from the movies? It wasn't in there. Superman never did anything that talked about saving mankind from their sins. See, Christ's mission from Daniel 9:24 says his mission was to make and reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. That's the mission of Christ. Matthew 1:21 says, Jesus shall bring forth a, or Mary shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins. That's the mission of Christ. So I don't care if your story follows in the vein of it. He was born from a mother birth and has whatever. If he doesn't share in the mission of my Savior, it is not my Savior. You know what happens here? All of the different civilizations of the world have had a story of a virgin birth and a baby coming to save them. Did you know that? That predate Christ. It happens in Africa. It happens in Asia. It happens all over the world. There is a prophecy that there is a boy that is going to come through a mother and save the world. You can look it up. Greek mythology was Perseus, who was half Zeus and half man. You can look it up. This is true, and this is the number one reason why most atheists say Jesus was just a story stolen from the rest of these things. But let me tell you, let me back you up even further. Where did the prophecy that the baby was going to come through the mother start? In the Garden of Eden. Who was present in the Garden of Eden? Jesus, Adam, Eve, and Satan. So Satan's standing back going, interesting. You're going to have a baby that's going to come through that woman that's going to crush my head. So you know what he does? He tells every single generation a false story. Just like the Greeks and the Romans, it isn't a savior that's going to come and save you from your sins. Guess what? Like Perseus, I'm going to save you from the oppression of the power. In fact, in Egypt, they had Isis, Horus, and Set. Where did Greek and Roman mythology come from? It came from the Egyptians. They just took those gods and they said, we'll call them Zeus, we'll call them Hades, we'll call them Aqua, whatever. And all of a sudden, so now you have a situation where God's people spent time in where? Egypt, Greece, and Rome. Now I find that very interesting that the Jews missed Jesus the first time because they were looking for the wrong Jesus. Flash forward to today. Superheroes are built off of Egyptian, Greek, and Roman mythology. What is the devil doing? You see, he's not dumb. He looks through the history of time and he says, oh, I see how humanity missed Jesus the first time. I'll do it again. I'll hand it to your generation. Now you watch these stories and you will be missing on the strong Jesus. Where's the good-looking Jesus? Where's the rich Jesus? But you know what? He isn't going to come like that. When the devil steps on the scene as the cosmic Christ, if you've been watching all of these false interpretations of who Jesus is, and you do not have a relationship with Jesus from your Bible, brothers and sisters, you will follow the wrong Jesus. Does that make sense? That's the danger of watching some of these things and going, oh, he's just like Christ. Well, guess what? Neo's just like Christ. All sorts of movies put out this idea that Jesus is just like Jesus. But make no mistake, if it does not share in the mission of saving you from your sins, reject that Jesus. Mrs. White says, the crowning act of the great drama of deception, Satan himself will personate Christ. The church has long professed to look to the Savior's advent as the consummation of her hopes. Now the great deceiver will make it appear that Christ has come in different parts of the earth. Satan will manifest himself among the men as a majestic, dazzling being of brightness, resembling the description of the Son of God given to John in Revelation. We know this day is coming. And so when I see these kind of things where people are bowing
maybe
down.
Maybe he's just a guy trying to do the right thing.
You better now, don't.
He's out of control!
They brought their warrior.
No, they come from the sky.
The world has been so...
There is so much imagery here that they're putting this out there that he is like Jesus. And listen to how Lex Luthor even addresses him.
Problems up here.
The problem of evil in the world. The problem of absolute virtue.
I'll take you in without breaking you, which is more than you deserve.
The problem of you on top of everything else. You above all. Because that's what God is. Horus, Apollo, Jehovah, Kal-El, Clark, Joseph, Kent. See, what we call God depends upon our tribe, Clark Joe. Because God is tribal. God takes sides. No man in the sky intervened when I was a boy to deliver me from Daddy's fists and abominations. I figured out way back. If God is all-powerful, he cannot be all-good. And if he is all good, then he cannot be all powerful. And neither can you be.
So then he tells him that he's going to make God bend to his will.
And now God bends to my will.
There's so many twisted theology things inside of here. It's not worth your time, brothers and sisters. You would be better to pull out your Bible and study it for those 2 hours than to waste your time with that. Another thing that was brought up to my attention, I actually loved the offering call today. It really sparked my imagination and going, you know what? That's so true. God is lending us his money. And you know what's interesting? How often do we spend our money on this, and how hard is it for us to give money to the church? Do we really act like we want to go home? Do we want to really finish this work? It takes money to finish this work. The church needs workers and help, and you know what I mean? And if we're so quick to give them our money, we have a problem. Remember what this character, he's a writer for DC Comics, where he said Batman comes from. Here's where he says he comes from.
His iconography is that of a demon.
His iconography is that of a demon. He comes from a demon. That's why he has horns. That's why he has bat wings. That's why they call him the Dark Knight. I did not say that. The writer of the DC comic book said that. Brothers and sisters, it is interesting to me that we inside the church have no problem watching something where even they'll tell you he's the son of the demon. His whole comic book series is he is a demon. Yet we have no problem watching this. When you look up into some of these comic books, here is a Batman comic book that Grant Morrison wrote. And inside of this comic book, that city that you see there, right there, this is the DC Wiki, it is Bethlehem burning all around him. There is so much satanic stuff in here. You've got upside down pentagrams. You've got people hanging on. These are real things. And you know that the movies always follow the comic books? This is straight satanic things. And yet we have no problem watching these in our world, in our church. I want to show you something. Remember what I told you? Greek and Roman mythology, where did the Greeks and the Romans got it from? They just got it from Egypt, right? Way back in the 60s, there was a TV show called Batman, if you guys ever remember this, some of you that are of the older generation may remember this. They had a character that on there that was a pharaoh, and they had all kinds of Egyptian themes in the TV show. They had Egyptian gods, pyramids, all kinds of things. As you can see right here, here's an Egyptian idol. They were part of the storyline. So it made me start to think, if it's built on Egyptian mythology, here is the 1989 Batman that Tim Burton directed. And in the very beginning of the movie, when the movie starts, it's called Batman Return, you see a picture of a mother and a father pushing a baby in a basket, throwing him into the river. And I said, interesting, pause. Who do you know that's in a baby in a basket in a river? Moses, right? So then I started to look up, well, is there any Moses parallel? There was a book that was written by David Hughes that talks about, and he interviewed all of the writers of all the comic book movies. And in here, they said that the writer got an inspiration for the Penguin from Moses. And it was a parallel because he asked everybody to kill the firstborn sons of Gotham, just like Moses said to kill the firstborn sons. Here's the scene.
Ah, it's time. These are the names of the firstborn sons of Gotham City, just like I was. And like me, a terrible fate waits for them.
So Moses is around the time of Egypt. And I started thinking, well, whose side is Moses on? Whose side is Moses on? God's side, right? In fact, the Bible says that Moses is a type of Christ, right? So as I'm sitting here understanding how this is all playing out, in the very beginning of the movie, they show you when the Penguin is born. And he's born on what day? Christmas Day. And then they show you that 33 years later, he dies. Who was born on Christmas Day and dies 33 years later? And this just blew my mind. And I said, what if every single superhero is the devil fighting Jesus and they do it over and over again? And I said, in order for that to be true, it can't just be one movie. If it was one movie, I could be pulling something out of nothing. So I then decided to say, I'm going to look at all the movies. If I see a common denominator, once you see a pattern denotes intelligence. There's no reason for the pattern. It's not random. So then I started looking at a totally different Batman movie. This is the one with Tommy Lee Jones, and here Tommy Lee Jones is the bad guy called Mr. Two-Face. And inside of his lair, the camera pauses with a face and a crown of thorns on his head. And I paused it, and I said, why is there a picture of a face with a crown of thorns on his head in his lair? And this is the bad guy. As I started to look around the room, I started to notice that there is some very interesting articles in the room. A seven-branch candlestick. There is an animal roasting on the fire. There is incense burning on the ground. And I immediately realized, where do you see these? Wow. It's just a Batman movie, right? This has nothing to do with my Bible, right? It's just a fake story. So then I started looking at other films, totally different film. Oh, by the way, I want to read this to you. This is what Mrs. White says, the correct understanding of the ministration of the heavenly sanctuary is the foundation of your faith. It is God's plan to get rid of sin. If you do not understand the sanctuary, I encourage you, read it, study it, understand it, because it is God's plan to get rid of sin. So, totally different Batman movie. Flash forward to a recent Batman movie called The Dark Knight. This is Mr. Harvey Dent, Mr. Two-Face. And his job in the movie is a lawyer. I find that really interesting because here in the other movie that happened in the 90s, where he's in the sanctuary, and then all of a sudden that same character, 10 or 15 years later, is a lawyer in a movie. And what is Jesus? That's kind of interesting, don't you think? But it's just a Batman movie, right? It's just a story. It has nothing to do with the great controversy. Brothers and sisters, do you think that we are in a war, yes or no? They are not playing for fun. They are playing for your mind. The only trick the devil has is to misrepresent the character of God to you. And he does it over and over and over again. Why do you think it breaks my heart when I ask who here has seen this movie or this movie or this movie, and half, if not more, of the hands go up? Brothers and sisters, you are getting a conflicting message from Hollywood and from your Bible. A totally different movie. Oh, by the way, how we know that Jesus is our lawyer in heaven, it comes from 1 John 2:1. My children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate in heaven. And an advocate, just looked it up in the dictionary, is a person that pleads your case in a court of law. So then I looked at a totally different Batman movie, a character called the Catwoman, and I said, what could the Catwoman possibly have anything to do with Jesus? In the very beginning of the Catwoman movie, this is when they start to show you the images and the titles of the movie. They show you a bunch of pictures. It says witches and devils, and there's all kinds of weird imagery in the very beginning. But then they paused and they said, this is the beloved Bast. Bast is a Egyptian goddess, cat god, and it's where we get the idea that the cat is sexy, because the cat represented that to the Egyptians. And so it is basically who possessed her in the movie, Bast, and that's how she became the cat goddess. She fell off of a cliff into the muddy, miry clay, and a cat comes and breathes the breath of life into her, and she is raised out of the mud. Who breathed the breath of life in you? It's not just one movie. It's over and over and over and over again. It isn't because you watched one movie. It's all of these together are fighting against God. You come to a movie like Thor, and in this trailer that I'm going to show you, there is a conversation between Thor and his father, and I want you to pay attention. Look inside the room. It's a golden room where everything is in order, and there is two huge, almost looking angelic things that are over the back of the throne, and listen to the conversation that Thor has with his father.
I have sacrificed much to achieve peace. For through your arrogance and stupidity, you have opened these peaceful realms and innocent lives to the horror and devastation of war.
You are a vain, greedy, cruel boy.
You are an old man and a fool!
You're unworthy!
Father.
I now take from you your power! I cast you out!
Please, open your eyes.
Oh no, this is Earth, isn't it?
Where did he come from?
So here's the information that's told to you. He says you are a vain, greedy, cruel boy. You traded peace for war. I now take from you your power, and I cast you out in a bolt of lightning down to earth. Who was cast out in a bolt of lightning down to earth? Do you remember the story that Jesus was talking with the disciples, and the disciples were saying, yes, listen to us. The demons have to listen to us. Yeah. And Jesus says, no, don't gloat over that. Because I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. You see, there is so many spiritual parallels in all of these movies. It keeps going and going and going, and all they're doing is attacking God, attacking God, attacking God, and our kids are going, and many of our adults are going and watching all of these movies. To the point where they can even tell you exactly what's going on, and most people's spiritual alarm bells do not go off. I found it interesting that the X-Men titled their name of their one of their latest movies called Apocalypse. Apocalypse just means to reveal something, right? In fact, that's why in Portuguese, if you look at a Portuguese Bible, the title of Revelation is Apocalypse. It means to reveal the character of God. We have attributed it to the end of the world and the destruction, but it really just means, in the dictionary, to reveal something. So I found it interesting that they attributed it to this movie, what exactly are they revealing? Listen to the words that they set up.
I saw the end of the world. I could feel all this death.
Jean, it was just a dream.
So all of a sudden, the end of the world is coming, and this character that's coming to destroy the world, they ask him his name. Listen to what he says his name is.
I've been called many things over many lifetimes. Ra, Krishna, Yahweh.
My name is Yahweh. Krishna. You've heard of the Hare Krishna. So all of a sudden, his whole job, they even tell you, this is a god that's coming to cleanse the world.
Some believe that the first mutant was born thousands of years ago. He was some kind of god, and he's going to rise again.
He's a god that's going to rise again. And listen to how he talks about his people.
You are all my children, and you're lost. Because you follow blind leaders.
You're my children, and you're lost because you follow blind leaders. Where have we heard that terminology before?
No more false gods. I'm here now.
He always had four followers.
Like the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Together, we will cleanse the earth.
Together we will cleanse the earth. That's the purpose that this evil character is coming back to destroy the world. His name is Yahweh. He has four horsemen of the apocalypse. Listen to this. Ephesians 5:27 says, "Husband, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word." That is what Jesus is promising to do. And the end of this X-Men series, the entire movie then becomes, how do we fight against this coming God?
He means to destroy this world. Billions of people killed.
The world needs the X-Men.
You're gonna join them, aren't you?
You wanted me to get out of the house more, right?
It's all of us.
Against a god.
Let's go to war.
It's all of us against a god. Let's go to war. Do you think that they are preparing to war against God? When you sit in church and you hear a sermon for 1 hour out of the week, and you go home and you watch 4 hours a day watching TV and movies, who do you think has your attention? You can't even compare the weight that happens in our mind. I went to a church recently and I asked, who here has seen Deadpool? Everyone laughed. Half the hands went up. I said, do I even need to mention it? Wow. Where is our discernment, brothers and sisters? Where has it come? 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Evil communications corrupt evil manners. Romans 12:21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Suicide Squad. The entire premise of the Suicide Squad is basically saying that the criminals and the worst people in humanity will be the ones that save you. They're your savior. And do you know that this particular character right here, played by Will Smith, on his collar it says, I am the light of the world, written on his collar. Who is that? Wow. Why would... No alarm bells went off when this gets played? Many of our youth have seen this. We read this verse the other night, 2 Thessalonians 2:9-11. The coming of the lawless one is in accordance to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive a love of the truth. Brothers and sisters, you have to know what the Bible says. If you don't read the Bible, it's impossible to watch something like this and to see these parallels or to point this out or to even understand it. But I guarantee you, I stand firm on this. The more that you draw close to Christ, the more and less you will want to watch any of these types of things. All of a sudden, we have all these superhero movies that are coming out with things that we know we shouldn't be watching. The sorcerers, the black magic of Doctor Strange. He's the black magic magician, you know, magic involving invoking evil spirits. That's what black magic means. He's the very black magic sorcerer invoking spirits hero. And that's one of the good guys in the movies. Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12 says, "There shall not be found among you anyone that passes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter of familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, for all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord." Do you know that word abomination in the Bible is God hates? He cannot use stronger language than "I hate this." And yet, God's children have no problem watching magic and sorcery. I don't want to beat you up. That's not my purpose here. My purpose is to say, listen, brothers and sisters, it is time to make a choice. Choose you this day who you are going to serve, and let's serve him. Let's not be on both sides of the fence anymore. You young people, my heart is for you guys. You don't understand. When I was your age, I had no interest in spiritual things whatsoever. I soaked up Hollywood like it was nothing. And I believe it's one of the things that led me away from God. The fact that you guys are even here in church right now, praise God. But you can be a witness to your friends. The very fact that your friends go, "I want to go and watch this movie," and you say, "You know what? I don't really want to." You better bet they're going to ask you why. And you can say, "Hey, look, because I want to serve God, God said, don't touch magic and sorcery. That's got magic and sorcery in it." What a witness you can be to your friends. Black Panther is a movie that sucked an incredible amount of Christians into it because it was like, yes, finally, we get representation. And let me tell you, Hollywood is very slanted. Everything in it is white people. And all of a sudden, we have a movie that puts a certain culture in a good light, meaning they're not the criminals and pimps and drug dealers and stereotypes that Hollywood constantly puts this demographic into. But you remember, the devil is a very subtle creature. So all of a sudden, he gets people to come into the movie because he's giving you something that he wants or that you want. In here, there's all kinds of worship, ancestral worship. There's a worship of different gods using amulets and stuff like this. It's called juju. There's even ancestral worship, like when T'Challa's mother is trying to raise the dead.
I call upon the ancestors. I call upon Bast.
She calls upon Bast, the Egyptian god. He has what they call necromancy,
for you to come home,
where he talks to his dead father. There is many, many things in this movie that are an absolute no-no from the Bible. Bast, right here, this comes from Marvel's wiki. Listen to this. This is from their own website. In Necropolis, a Wakandan city of the dead, where Black Panthers go to die, and there you will rule. As the king of the dead, every panther that has ever lived, their strength, their knowledge is yours. Every battle fought, every battle won, unbeaten, unbroken, crowned of the conqueror, the king of kings, my champion, the Black Panther. This is not my words, this is their words. He is the king of the dead. He is literally Lucifer personified. You have no business watching that. None. Remember, Isaiah 8, 19 through 20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if it speaks not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You know, the Marvel Universe is blowing up right now. They have all the different comic book characters coming together into one single story. And in this story, it is something that they have been working on for 10 years. Every single story, from Iron Man to Guardians of the Galaxy, they have all been aiming at this one story where they are going to find and fight a character named Thanos that's coming to destroy the world. It's Thanos' job to find all of what he calls infinity stones, and he puts all the stones in his fist, and each one of the stones represents something. One stone gives him omnipresence. One stone allows him to raise people from the dead. One stone allows him to see into the future and into the past. One stone allows him to create whatever he wants to create. Let me know when your spiritual alarm bells are going off right now. Because there is only one being in the entire universe that has that power. And that's God. And what happens in the movie is he's the bad guy. He's the guy that is coming to destroy the world. And I don't even know if people caught this, but the ship that he arrives to on the earth is called the Sanctuary. Brothers and sisters, I couldn't make this up if I tried. I couldn't write this kind of complexity that is 100% attacking God, attacking God, attacking God, attacking God. The reason I feel so passionate about showing and helping my brethren and opening your guys' eyes to this is because the spiritual war is around us. Listen to what Mrs. White wrote 100 years ago. Satan's strategy is to confuse the senses. Satan's work is to lead men to ignore God, to engross and absorb the mind so that God will not be in their thoughts. The education they have received has been a character to confuse the mind and eclipse the true light. Satan does not wish that his people would have a knowledge of God, and if he can set into operation theatrical performances and games that will so confuse the senses that human beings will perish in darkness while light shines all about them. Brothers and sisters, the devil does not care if you sit in church all weekend long. As long as you step out of here, and when the sun goes down, I'm going to go watch my superhero movies. You can be led astray while all of this light is around you. But you see, the reason why I wanted to preach the sermon this afternoon is because if you love God, fall in love with Him. You don't want to do things that are combating Him. If they're fighting against God and you love God, you're not going to want to watch it. Listen to this from Our High Calling. If we would at last share in the reward of the righteous, we must wisely improve the time of our probation. Moments are more precious than gold. Brothers and sisters, can I share something honestly with you? Especially you young people, I want to speak straight to your heart. When you get to heaven, you will not walk around and say, I am so glad I watched every single one of the X-Men. I guarantee you, you won't say that. You won't ever say that. You won't say, I'm so glad I played 50 hours a week of this particular video game. I'm so glad I wasted all this time over here. You know what you will regret? Why didn't I share with my neighbor? Why isn't my brother or sister here? Why isn't my classmate here? Why isn't my teacher here? Why isn't my church member here? That is the regret that you will feel. If we were to wisely use the precious moments that we have here on this earth, they are but few moments left. Use them wisely. If there was nothing wrong with watching these movies other than the time-wasting factor, it would be enough for me to say you would be better to spend your time doing something else. Read, learn, go out and share, witness. You count up all those hours together. It's an incredible amount of time that we waste in our lives. I'm going to read something to you. Few realize that it's our duty to exercise control over the thoughts and imaginations. It's difficult to keep undisciplined mind fixed on profitable subjects, but if the thoughts are not properly employed, religion cannot flourish in the soul. The mind must be preoccupied with sacred and eternal things, or it will cherish trifling and superficial thoughts. In order to understand this matter aright, we must remember that our hearts are naturally depraved. We are unable ourselves to pursue a right course. It is only by the grace of God, combined by the most earnest efforts on our part, that we can gain the victory. The intellect, as well as the heart, must be consecrated to the service of God. He has claims upon all of us is of us. He has claims upon all there is of us. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you learn something from these presentations. But it means nothing if you don't ask God to help you make those choices. It's just information if you don't act on it. So I want to do something for you. As we close with a little word of prayer here, I want to ask you seriously, if you are struggling with movies, television, any of the above, you don't know even where to start, how to unplug, how to stop, you don't know how to change your thoughts or your feelings, you don't know any of that, I want you to do one simple thing for me. As we bow our heads, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to just do a simple thing for me. I'm going to ask you, and raise your hand when I ask you, because all you need to do is tell God, God, I need your help. I give you my heart. That's it. Allow God to be the God in your life and allow him to come and change your heart. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I know some of these things are hard to digest, hard to look at. But Lord, you've called us for a special purpose, to be holy, to be ready, to put on your robe of righteousness. Lord, you've promised to cleanse our hearts and to give us new thoughts and to take every thought that we have into the captivity of Christ. So Lord, as there is many out here that are battling or struggling with some of these things, Lord, if it is you that God is calling, I want you to just raise your hand right now. God, look down upon these hands right here. You send your mightiest angels to encompass around these souls that are reaching out to you. Lord, we need your help. We don't know how to move past this point, but you do.